Are non-denominational churches really biblical? The answer to that question and others on this edition of Key Light.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Light, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. Pete, Al Winston, my pastor's come in. Thank you very much for doing this.
Mr. Beer, how you doing?
I'm doing good. And, you know, you're my pastor, and I'm not going to tell you if I'm doing bad. I'm spiritual and praise Jesus. I'm walking.
Did you pray today?
I haven't sinned in weeks.
Good.
I just want you to know that.
Well, you're my mentor.
That's a joke. Don't send letters. Pete Allison does come in on Fridays generally to help with some of these questions, and we get thousands of them and love to get them, but you have to write them down. Key Light, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Key Light, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N38593. Or you can email us your question at steve@keylight.org, but give us your regular mailing address. If you want an answer, he got an answer from me or somebody on the staff or in the magazine or on the broadcast. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIGHT number for questions. You can get the booklet free that we're offering, the Key Light tapes free, the magazine free, but you got to write your question. You can make contribution too, but you got to write your question down. Pete, why don't you leave us in prayer and then we'll get to some of these questions.
All right. Father, what a good thing it is to be your children and be in your presence today, and so we bow our heads for a moment and we remember that you are sovereign. Our lives can get so chaotic, but today we remember that you're in charge, that you created us, that you came after us again in Christ, and that you will never let us go. And Father, sometimes we feel like we're on a raft floating out in the middle of the ocean. We don't know what's really going to happen to us. We don't really know what's coming next. We feel alone. And I pray that you would help us to remember that you are here, that you will never leave us, nor forsake us, and that you have a plan that is good for us. Lord, you have a plan that is good for everybody, and we pray that you'd help us to be a part of it as well. But bring us together this weekend around you, around your plan, and help us to worship. Be with our leaders, our pastors, teachers, priests, all the families that are around the leadership of the church. Give them boldness and strength and cause them to point to Christ. And then, Father, I pray for Key Life. Thank you for this ministry and how it's touched so many people and how it continues to touch my life. Be with Steve and use him in a powerful way, and I pray that more and more people would come to know how good you are through this ministry. We commit our time to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pete, this first question is from Massachusetts, my old stomping ground.
Yeah.
Are non-denominational churches biblical?
Well, we're Presbyterians and of not the mainline Presbyterians, but we're Presbyterians, so we're connectional. I grew up Baptist, and we were sort of connectional, too, even then. And there are real...
What's connectional mean?
Well, that means that we don't act as though we're an independent church without reference to other Christians in the area. And it means, in our situation, that we ordain our pastors as a denomination, as a presbytery, in our case. And that we, do evangelism, plant churches, do missions in a connected way. And I think even the independent churches, a lot of times, they join together.
Oh, sure.
There's an organization of independent churches in the United States.
And probably, in our community, we have a large independent church that's probably the best connected the other churches of any church. I mean, they connect everybody.
Absolutely. And some denominational churches don't want to be connected with them.
Yeah, that's right.
But absolutely right.
Do you think God's uptight about that?
I don't think so, no.
I don't either. I think we're wired differently, and people, I mean, you were dealing with the denominational matter this morning. You were telling me that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to be independent for at least a week or so.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, it is possible for an independent church not to be biblical.
Yeah, I think so. They can be separatistic,
yeah.
even cult-like,
yeah.
in that they don't really listen to the broader body of Christ on theological issues or even in procedural matters. Now, you know, the thing that's great about you and Key Life is that you guys really are connected. I mean, you go to our presbytery meetings. You sat through the whole thing last time.
Mm-hmm.
And you really well, believe this.
I keep hoping. If you did, the Bible says if you die in a Presbyterian meeting, well, or any ecclesiastical meeting, as boring as most ecclesiastical meetings, you get to heaven on work. They don't even ask about Jesus. They say, you died where?
Yeah.
And they say, come on in.
I know. I know.
So I sit a long time thinking, Lord, this would be a good time.
Make it quick.
but we do as Key Life, and it's not just you guys. You're a part of this. Try to be broader than just denominational stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. You could be too ingrown just in your own denomination. The body of Christ has so many gifts to offer. And we really do need to learn and listen to each other. There are good usually the independent movement has come from abuses in denominations,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you have to be careful if you're an independent church. I mean, if you have a pastor who has no place of submission, no authority structure to reference to, that's dangerous, not because he's ugly and his mother dresses him funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's dangerous because the biblical model is that we must submit to the brethren.
Yes.
And so you've got to be careful about those kinds of things. But most of the independent Bible churches that I know have a clear board of elders or deacons or whatever, and there's a place of authority and are biblical in that way.
That's right. That's right.
Serious?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Let me see. What does baptized in the Holy Spirit mean? There is nothing you can say on this, Pete, that won't make somebody angry.
1 Corinthians 12:13, when we receive Christ, we are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ.
All right. Next question.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you know where this is coming from.
Yeah.
Our charismatic brothers and sisters and Pentecostal brothers and sisters would see, and see, I don't have problem with the experience, but with just the nomenclature.
Mm-hmm.
I wish, though they're not, they don't listen to me anyway, but I love them. And you know, as I told you, I have a little girl, she's grown now, who was prayed for by some charismatics.
Yeah.
And so I like those guys a lot. But I wish they would call it filling or experience of or whatever, because I believe that the Bible teaches that when you become a Christian, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there's just Ephesians 4 or 5 or 3 or whatever. I'm not a navigator. Says there's one baptism.
Right.
And so I would have trouble with the nomenclature, though not with the experience. Mm-hmm. I think those of us who are mainline, when people had an honest-to-goodness experience with the Holy Spirit, we thought it was the devil. And we said, get out of our churches. Or they left because they knew they'd experienced God.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great division that should never have taken place.
I agree.
So call it something else. And if you don't, I'll still love you.
Absolutely. But if you're telling other Christians that the first baptism is by the Spirit into Christ and the second one is by Christ into the Spirit, you don't have biblical ground for that. You're really kind of leading people astray, maybe even leading them to feel like they're second-class citizens in the body. And that's not necessary.
Don't be careful.
Yeah. There you go.
Now, you have some things to say to Presbyterians. Back off.
Yeah.
No, man. Boy, are we going to get letters. I'm going to send them right to our church for your consideration.
And my elders will be able to, you know.
This is from Ontario, Canada, one of our favorite places in the world. We had a great time. How should we respond and what should we say when a friend or family member dies who did not know Jesus?
Well, what have you said? I know that you've done lots of funerals where that's been the case.
Well, there is a safety net in the sense that nobody has the right to know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have this major way that you come to know Jesus. You go down the Roman road, or you go through an EE plan of evangelism, or the four spiritual laws, and you say the sinner's prayer in exactly the way it's printed on the sheet, and if you don't, you're going to hell.
Yeah, yeah.
And while I very much affirm, I learned to share my faith with Crusade, and I was in one of those early seminars with Jim Kennedy, and I love the ministry of Coleridge and Evangelism Explosion. It seems to me that the plan of salvation is, I'm scared, I'm in need, I'm in trouble. Jesus, help me. Mm-hmm. And I think Jesus often loves people who do that. And they may do that in a variety of ways. We just don't know. So first, you got to be careful about saying things in hell, because you don't know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So don't say that.
That's right.
Sometimes in funerals, and I teach the students in practical theology, that if they don't know, they need to present the gospel. They need to say nice things about Sam, and then say, but we're turning Sam over to a God who is loving and just.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk to you.
That's right.
And then you don't make reference to that. I think people are not looking for theology when somebody dies. Maybe you hug them. Maybe you shed tears with them. Maybe you participate in their sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've learned from you on this, and I'm 100% right there. You hug them. You tell them that you love them a whole lot, and this is awful, and it's painful.
Yeah.
And
that Jesus is good.
God is great. God is good. And here's the gospel. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I think so.
It sounds like you're skirting the issue.
Yeah, but
you're not. Really?
But you've got to skirt it. You can't. You know, when Jesus said we're not to judge others, that text, when it's exegeted properly, is making reference to this very issue.
Uh-huh.
It's not talking about, although there are other places that say this, you don't judge somebody about whether they smile funny or do the right. He's talking about ultimately and eternally. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to be very, unless the person is an outright atheist who made an obscene gesture at God regularly, Then I call somebody else to do the funeral or do the grief work with that person.
We both had to do funerals where we knew that the person who died not only wasn't a Christian but was not liked very much by most of the people in the room, and that's awkward.
Oh,
and but that makes it even easier to get just to the good stuff.
Yeah.
You just don't dwell on the person laying there.
I've just thought of 15 different jokes to tell. There's a bunch of jokes about the dead lady.
So many stories.
But, and I noticed we're running out of time.
Strangers.
I don't know if it is. Because they're preacher's jokes about this particular issue. But we will spare that because we do not want on King Life to feed your period interest.
I thought you were going to use that one. And you know, you don't even withhold names if they would send a contribution right now.
Oh, that's true. Guys, we're out of time, and it's time for us to get out of here. Love to get your questions. Write them down and send them to us. And G-Light is a listener-supported production of G-Light Network.